Hypothetically, if you're not elected president, who would you appoint if you had to? No getting out of it. You can either choose Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Come on, I gotta ask it. Who would you have to, if you had to choose one of them, because one of them was going to be president.
Gun to your head, or maybe drone over your head.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Drone over your head, if that's a pro-Hillary statement from him. Death penalty for New York, what is it called? The Five? Central Park Five, if it's Trump. Anyway, that didn't work out that well. Okay, to me it did. So yeah, if you had to, if one of them was going to be the president, or else, if not, they would combine together and create a mutant that would have the worst of both of them. So that's your, it's a lot of pressure.
So, you know, I think we do have that mutant,
and
actually.
Unfortunately, folks, we have to leave it there. My name is Tony Bates, programming manager here at WBAI. Thank you so much for tuning in for Jill Stein. We will have this interview available to you at the pledge level. You can get this next week. Katie will have it on her show, or you can get it now. Visit us at WBAI.org. But support this program, please, 516-620-3602. Tune in next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. to hear a rebroadcast of Jill Stein on the Katie Halper Show. 516-620-3602 to send in your pledges of support. Stay tuned next for Off the Hook. Thank you again for listening and pledging your support to WBAI New York 99.5 FM.
Hi, this is Randy Credico from Live on the Fly. And if you're like me, you can't wait for this farcical presidential campaign to be over. Well, you don't have to wait, because we are throwing a party prior to the election to celebrate the passing of this outrageous charade. Goodbye and good riddance. Join me and other BAI producers, along with some great cutting-edge comics and badass musicians, at the Commons on Sunday, November 6th at 7 p.m. It's free to all you BAI listeners. So that's this Sunday, November 6th, 7 p.m., the Commons Cafe, 388 Atlantic Avenue in the Republic of Brooklyn. Let's celebrate before we all end up in jail.
Hi, this is Nando from WBAI's Con Sabor Latino. Please continue to support WBAI by joining us for our annual Salsa Dance fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. The four great bands with special guests that are confirmed are Jimmy Delgado and his orchestra, Conjunto Sabor featuring WBAI's own Chico Alvarez, Arturo Ortiz and Siete Con Calle, and the new Swing Sextet, who, by the way, will receive a WBAI Con Sabor Latino Lifetime Achievement Award. We'll also honor Willie Torres, the original lead vocalist and only founding member of the iconic Joe Cuba Sextet, alive today. Please join us for this historic WBAI Salsa Dance fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. For more information, visit WBAI.org, SOBS.com, or call 212-243-4940.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth.
Hi, this is Joe Strummer, and you're listening to WBAI, and it's all mixed up, and it's mixed in, too.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York, as the gentleman just said. It's 8 o'clock, a little bit after 8 o'clock, a little bit after 8 o'clock, and time, believe it or not, once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bump, for the best, expect the worst. Bum-diddly-bow!
very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Once again, in case you don't know, we do a radio show here at WBAI. You might not know it from listening to WBAI, but we're on every Wednesday night starting at 8 o'clock usually. Haven't been on the last month. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. Let's go around the room and say hi to everybody. It's Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Kyle.
Hi.
How's it going, Jim?
Hello.
And Bernie S. Can't make the phone ring for some reason. What's going on with that? Have we gotten so out of practice we can't make phone calls anymore?
We're going to attempt to place a phone call. So
we're going to place a phone call.
Let's see how
I'm sure he's trying.
How sophisticated. Well, what do you want? Do you want me to do something?
I would like you to turn me down.
Turn you down?
Yes.
Okay. No, Rob, no. There. How does that feel? All right. I guess you just like to be deprecated or self. It's not self-deprecation if I do it, but well, okay. Here we are. We're back. This is the program, in case you don't know, about computer hacking and phone freaking and privacy and anonymous and chaos and all kinds of interesting, fascinating things that go on in this wonderful hacker culture of ours. And, well, I guess that just wasn't very much going on in the last month for us to do a show. We haven't been on since September. It's really super frustrating for us because, God, there was a lot to talk about. There was so much to talk about in this past month, and we weren't able to do any of it. Did you manage to get Bernie?
I believe I have.
Bernie, are you with us?
Hi, Emmanuel. I'm calling from Philadelphia. Apparently some of the numbers that WBAI has aren't working again, so... You had to call me.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a revelation. So we've lost some of our phone lines, which we just got back fairly recently. I was just starting to get into the frustration. There's plenty of time to hop on board this bus. And I know a lot of our listeners have something to say as well. Let's go back to how this came about, because people deserve to know what's been happening here. We've been involved in a, sounds like we've been involved in a horrible, accident. No, we've been involved in a fundraiser, which many people might think is the same thing. No, it's essential. It's important for the radio station to raise funds because they come from the listeners. All right. And autumn is something else that's unavoidable. That happens once a year. So the autumn fundraiser that kind of comes together, and lo and behold, we're on the air asking for money. Thing is, we made it clear to station management, because we have so many listeners who have not received their premiums, despite our promises, despite us destroying our reputation by saying, yeah, you're going to get those items that you pledged for in the months, even years past, because we've talked, Rob, you've talked to the people here and given them the information and given them, of course, more importantly, the premiums. In fact, Rob, of all the people who have been wronged here, you actually made paintings. You made individual paintings for listeners, and I don't know where they are. I don't know where they went, but they did not go to the listeners. Some of the listeners got them, but many of the listeners did not get them.
That's true, and naturally, I'm a bit concerned. I don't know if there's some kind of art heist ring operating here at the station, or probably nothing so sinister. But
I would welcome something that sinister. To be honest, at least we could identify it.
I mean, I just would like to see those get where they belong and get to the people who are entitled to them.
And this is a unique aspect of Off the Hook. We contribute those premiums, mm-hmm. and this was partly where we had to kind of put on the brakes with that. Because of these outstanding obligations that it was not clear were being filled, or we just could not verify that. And that's where we've ended up.
So what we basically did was we said, we'll go on the air. We will ask for funds, just as we're doing tonight. We're giving out the number 516-620-3602, encouraging people to call up and keep this radio station on the air, because, hey, we're on top of the Empire State Building. You know, we're broadcasting to, I think, four different states. We're at 99.5 FM in the middle of the FM dial. These are all things that are impossible, that we could never get again. And the other thing is that we don't have commercials. So all of that added together is one big bowl of impossibility, and it's all kept possible by your calls to 516-620-3602, pledging whatever you can afford, And that's literally how it how it's been going since 1960. Now, we said, we made it very clear that we're going to support the station, which is more than other angry producers in the past have said. Some have refused to pledge. Some have even turned around and sued the radio station, filed a lawsuit against us. We don't do that. You know, we don't play these silly tantrums. We simply said we're not going to be adding more of our donated premiums to the pile of undelivered premiums. When the premiums that were pledged for in the past are delivered to those listeners who have already paid for them, then we will add more premiums into the mix and hope that that never happens again. And the management response to that was to take us off the air for 1 month. Every single week there was some kind of a special program on instead. And you know, as we don't debate programming decisions here. We were on at 7 o'clock. Now we're on at 8 o'clock. There's a structure here. There's hierarchy. There are people who make decisions. And people make decisions that, hey, this program will do better at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. Fine, you know, we respect that. And if people say that, well, you're better off not being on the air for the entire month of October before the most contentious election in our nation's history, where computer hacking is at the forefront, where all kinds of technological and email issues are being brought to the forefront, well, you might have a unique perspective and be able to get guests on the radio, such as Julian Assange, perhaps, and various other people we've gotten in the past who might be able to lend some insight. Yeah, maybe that's not such a good idea to have that on the air, and maybe instead have some kind of pre-recorded program instead that might bring in a couple more calls. I don't know. Not our decision. We didn't debate that. But we are reacting to it. We are reacting to it by saying we think that sucks. We think we were ripped off. The listeners were ripped off. We were ripped off. History was ripped off because there is such a lost opportunity here, and it's sad. 516-620-3602, that's the number to call to support the radio station. And please support the radio station, because we are talking about this on the radio station, and that that does mean something. But we have to fix things. We have to fix things here. We have to fix things on our show. We're going to get into how to fix things on our show as well as fix things at the radio station.
That is important to note. We're not saying don't support the station. We're saying support the station. We're all still here because we still believe in the station, and we believe in what we do here. We believe in this program and the station's greater mission. You know, and our situation with the premiums is one thing, but the station itself is quite another. So we're asking you to please call 516-620-3602, or please go to give2wbai.org and show your support for the station, for the show, and allow us to keep doing what we're doing, because at the end of the day, it is just you that keeps us on the air. And yeah, that's basically the only thing that we have going for us is our listenership. And we, if we're best able to serve our listenership by continuing to do what we do, then you have to be the ones to show the station that by pledging your support for Off the Hook for WBAI and keeping us going. 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org.
Now, Bernie, I know that you have been in touch with a lot of our listeners, and you've pretty much gotten a similar answer from all of them.
Yeah, in fact, every single one of the listeners who's recently contacted us saying they haven't gotten their premiums, their premium gifts that they paid for this year, has said they still haven't gotten them. And we're talking, I think now we have literally dozens of listeners who have not received their premiums, just the ones from this year. We've also gotten messages, information from listeners who pledged last year that haven't gotten their premiums. And this is despite WBAI's management saying, all those were virtually all fulfilled. And we've learned that that's simply not true. And so that's, you know, why you took a stand here, and we had to take a stand. We can't continue to promise listeners that they will receive a premium gift in exchange for pledging their support for the radio station. Now, the radio station itself is worth supporting, but, you know, if you make a commitment on the air that we're going to, that the station will send them the promised gift in exchange for X amount of dollars, the station needs to do that. And we have, as you pointed out, especially Rob, who's created a lot of these amazing paintings and a lot of other gifts that we've cobbled together or gotten donated from our friends in the hacker community. The station has them all. They're not waiting for any of these premiums, and the station hasn't sent them out. So I don't know what else we can do at this point other than...
Well, I know what we can do. We can reach out to our listeners, because our listeners are what the people who keep us on the air. And we can say to, for instance, Michael in Branchburg, New Jersey, we know about your Hope Archives thumb drive. We know about the historical telephone painting. We're working on getting that to you. Richard from Ann Arbor, we're working on getting your Hope Archives thumb drive. Jonathan from Tucson, Arizona. Christopher, who I don't see in a city there. We'll get you that information. Jim from Paramus. Micah from Portland. Ruben from Lynbrook. Phil from North Carolina. John from Brewster, New York. There are just so many people here. And you guys are the people that we do the show for. And we want you to stay with us. We get all kinds of angry emails. We don't want to keep getting angry emails. We want to get happy emails. We want to get the emails where you're contributing to the show, not only financially, but with stories, things that we have been talking about now for years. We want that to be part of your Wednesday night. That is an important aspect. And we have brought so much over the years to the listening audience here at WBAI and throughout the entire world. And we want that to continue. But obviously, we have to follow through, and we have to make good on what we say we're going to be doing.
Yeah, and as far as the paintings that I did go, you know, if there was some kind of art heist, then if I get that information, I'll bloody well paint them all again. I'm an artist. I can do that. So, yeah, I do believe in what we're doing, and I believe it's important. But we are reaching out to listeners who we've heard from about for asking for updates. Have you received anything? Have you moved? So if you hear from us, you know, let us know as soon as you can. If you haven't gotten in touch with us, let us know, oth@2600.com, if you're missing a premium, and we'll add you to our files and follow up on that for you.
Hey, and get this, we're getting phone calls. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We're getting pledges. Thank you, people who are calling in. Maybe a little honesty is what people want to hear on the radio station, right?
516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Or give to WBAI.org, spelled any way you like, numerically or not.
And, you know, we had an idea, too. Some people suggested this on Twitter, that everybody be as generous as possible. Pledge fantastic amounts. But wait for us to say, yeah, the premiums have been sent. Everything is sent. And then pay up. That way, if we don't make good, you know, then you can say, aha, these guys are terrible and I'm not going to support them. I think we'll get this crisis past, you know, we'll get past where we are right now, which is not a good place.
But making that pledge is the first step. That is a pledge. That is a commitment to our show, to this radio station and this network of radio stations.
It's sort of like religion. You know, you have to have a little bit of faith. And people have had faith in this place. I mean, you know, we have had one crisis after another at WBAI since we started back in 1960. And, you know, we're kind of seeing a parallel with this whole election and what's going on with the left in this country and how we can't get past infighting amongst ourselves and just constantly second-guessing and nitpicking and all kinds of nonsense that prevents us from moving ahead. And so you have situations where some moron like Donald Trump actually is taken seriously, and people are afraid that one week from tonight, we are going to have one hell of a crisis to worry about. And it's not so much because of the people on the right. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're supposed to support people like this. But, you know, I just heard fairly recently on these airwaves that the DNC is now being held responsible for creating Donald Trump. You know, it's like the left wants to blame the left for everything and not focus on the real enemy, which is fascism, which is ignorance, which is intolerance. And boy, do we have a basket of that coming up the turnpike. So we had better wake up and start doing something about it and start realizing that, yeah, you know what? It is the lesser of two evils. But boy, is that greater of two evils as evil as you can possibly get. And I'm not going to hold anything against people on the right because, like I said, they're doing what they're supposed to do. I will hold something against people on the left who don't wake up and you know, smell what's coming. It's this is how really bad mistakes are made.
I heard another parallel earlier about the Dakota Pipeline. And basically everything about one candidate was said, but nothing from the Republican side was said. What is Trump's position on the Dakota Pipeline? I'd love to hear that on the radio.
Isn't that so? He gets a pass.
And there was really no comment about our commander-in-chief who spoke to that today and talked about it.
What commander? You mean the evil Obama?
Yeah, the president.
Okay, what did he say? He said to don't tell me. Obama said drone strikes against all the protesters, right?
Close.
Close.
No, he actually was talking about redirection of it, and that this is something that is actually under consideration, being reviewed by the Army Corps of Engineers. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, it goes to show that if you listen, if you keep an open mind, surprising things can happen. And sometimes not exactly the way you want it to happen. Like, for instance, I want there to be many third-party candidates in this country. Many. That's why I want the 5% to be reached with the Green Party and the Libertarians and everybody. The way we run things in this country is a sham, a total sham. And that has to change. That has to absolutely change. But you don't get there in one election cycle. You get there with a series of steps. And I think there are certain steps we can take to get there, and there's certain steps we can take to move far away from there.
I'm not willing to take 4 years off to get there.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Well, so what's your solution then?
I want to effect immediate change with the options I think we're going to have before us. I'm sorry if that makes me, evil Kyle, but I'm trying to be realistic and immediate about this choice.
Yeah, but you can't have the immediate change. It doesn't work that way. You can't just snap your fingers and get the progressive candidate you want.
I didn't say change. I said choice.
Okay.
And I am not going to spend 4 years having made one choice and then, you know, wait 4 years and then maybe get the chance because they did get the 5%. I mean, I'm glad and I hope they get it, but like...
Wait, I'm not sure what side you're taking here. It's confusing me.
Well, if you're waiting, if you're voting and the third party candidate does not get in, that's 4 years you get to wait until the next opportunity.
Right. No, but the issue with the third party candidate is if they get 5%, they get matching funding and things like that.
Oh, good on them. I'm sure they'll get it.
So, I mean, that's the reason. In a state like New York, you can afford that.
Yeah.
A state like Florida, you cannot afford that.
Sure.
And if Donald Trump wins Florida because people are out saying, oh, a third party would be nice, that's highly irresponsible. Yeah, it's not ideal. I get it. It's not the way the system should be. You should be voting for who the best person is, and that person should have a chance. It doesn't work that way in this country, not right now. You know, we're mired in the past. You know, we still have Election Day on Tuesday because that's how long it takes farmers to get to the election booth starting on Sunday on horseback. You know, we're so stuck in the past, we can't even get that changed. So, you know, I don't have much faith that that we're going to have much progress as far as candidates. Bernie, go ahead.
I would like to hear third party candidates in the presidential debates. We really didn't hear much of that at all because the rules are between our two party system are kind of.
Well,
set up so you can't have that.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to have actual debates where people talk at each other and talk for a long period of time, and they don't leave the room until they're satisfied their points have been made. But I also, you know, I want to hear the morons in the room pontificate as much as possible. You know, I worry if you have a lot of people like you did with the Republicans, someone like Trump doesn't get to spout off as much and you don't get to realize what a danger he is. So there's that. But that can be solved by having an open debate format.
I'd frankly like to see the hacker party get 5%.
What hacker party?
What, you don't know about the
I
hacker party?
I wish there was a hacker party.
What's wrong?
We could use that.
Where's the hacker party?
The pirate party?
The what now?
The pirate party.
Now, there was some interesting news about the pirate party and Iceland. Who wants to tackle that subject?
They won a bunch of seats in their parliament, didn't they?
Wow, we're so well informed, aren't we? So none of us know what happened in Iceland. Yeah, they won a large number of seats. That's pretty much not the same thing you do.
I think trounced is a good word.
Well, I heard they came in second place. I can look this up, but it's, you know,
I have it right here, man.
Okay, go ahead. Go
please
on
share,
Google,
yes.
and help us out here.
Well, the Pirate Party, which is, let me find the actual. Keep talking, and I'll find the meat of the story here. I'm looking at 10 paragraphs here of news from Iceland.
Well, the thing about Iceland is they have kind of a history with their pirate party. Like, their people take it seriously, and they're actually a force, a political force in their country. Some years ago, we had a standing member of the Icelandic parliament, Birgitta Jónsdóttir, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Another guest on our radio show.
She was a guest on our show.
How about that? One of the movers and shakers in Iceland. You know, we could have had her on the last month as well.
Yeah, but she was a pirate. She was a member of parliament, and she had some really good things to say.
Yes, and around that time, actually, the Icelandic media initiative was passed, and as a result of corruption and a huge scandal in Iceland, and that is in fact why it is actually not so surprising that the pirates have done so well in Iceland, because there is tremendous support for technocrats and people that are really pushing as far as strengthening journalism and other concerns of sort of the internet age, and it is turning into a model for it. And in fact, WikiLeaks is headquartered there, I believe, or at least they're officially represented there.
Yes, indeed. And you can find that episode if you go to 2600.com/offthehook and search for Birgitta, which is spelled B-I-R-G-I-T-T-A. I recommend checking that out in our archives, because it was a very interesting episode.
Along with every other show that we've ever done on this radio station, dating back to 1988, if you can believe that, the history that we have here just on this one radio show, let alone on this radio station. It's simply incredible what the things that happen in this room. And I guess that's a good time to give out the phone number again, 516-620-3602. Now, what do you get when you call that number? You get a volunteer, not a volunteer, I think it's a paid person, actually, on the other end of the line. I don't know who these people are. They're someplace. But they will tell you what you can get for whatever you want to pledge. And so if you say, I want to pledge, $2,400, they'll tell you what you'll get for that amount of money. If you say, I want to pledge $30, they'll tell you what you can get if you pledge that. And we are saying that we believe you will get what you pledge for. And I think that's a good arrangement there. And we are going to continue. Another call just came in. We are going to continue and make sure, not rest, until everybody who has pledged for our show gets what they pledged for in the past. That's only fair, and we're going to continue doing that.
Can I just read one thing or speak to WikiLeaks a little bit here? Since
absolutely,
it is
yes.
Sort of apropos with the political stuff.
WikiLeaks has certainly been in the news quite a bit in the last few weeks, hasn't it?
It has been. I'm not actually going to address the breadth of what has been said by WikiLeaks about the campaign and so on. I'm actually I'm going to talk about hackers and leakers, people who are being detained and the conditions of detention. We're unfortunate in that we don't know how well Chelsea Manning is doing, and I was at their hearing, in Fort Meade, that was interesting to watch, and we've since heard about her situation and kind of along the lines of well-being and health issues. Mr. Assange is going through the same sorts of things as far as wellness. Not so much gender dysphoria, but in his case, he's been in the embassy in Ecuador, and he himself is recognizing and kind of sounding the alarm that this is not really doing so well. And in fact, I think this lends to the human rights, contention that he is facing sort of almost abuse by being put in this position as a refugee. Mm-hmm. Anyway, WikiLeaks released a medical report, and you have to understand that this is like handing your enemies or whomever fodder to criticize. So But so it's a general assessment of his situation and the things he's facing there. But it is safe to say that continued detention and refuge in the embassy is not serving his mental health and well-being.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? We have to pause for station identification.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
You know, I had no idea that was going to be the ID that came up. Wow. You know,
that was clever.
We recorded that. I think it was a week or two before he went into the embassy. Think about that.
Yes.
And we were like a block away, too. So it was definitely interesting times.
Yeah. So we can't forget about these people. And that is
no,
that's
absolutely
my point.
Not. Because, you know, here's the thing. I just want to say personally, it's frustrating because I see what Julian is doing. I see the information he's releasing about Hillary's emails and all that. And I get it. I understand exactly where he's coming from. But he's a journalist. He's somebody who is releasing the information that he has received. He's not going to tell you where he got it from. Maybe it came from Russia. Maybe it came from some kid in a basement someplace. Who knows? It's not relevant. The fact is, it's out there, and now it's being released, and it's the truth. And that's one thing that WikiLeaks has always given us, is the truth. Now, do I wish that WikiLeaks would release Donald Trump's tax return or maybe his emails or all kinds of things that would make him look bad? Of course I do. And it's frustrating to see that only Hillary Clinton is targeted here and that it could be helping Donald Trump. But I do not fault Julian for doing this. He's taken a very courageous stand. He's made an incredible sacrifice, just as Edward Snowden has made an incredible sacrifice, just as Chelsea Manning has made an incredible sacrifice. These are our heroes. These are people that we need to be thanking on a daily basis. And it's just it really is frustrating and horrifying to see what people face, what they put themselves through just to get the truth out. That is the spirit that I think permeates this place, permeates us, permeates the hacker world, and permeates a good amount of people in any democracy. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, when you're calling to support us, or when you're just listening to the radio or reading information and spreading the truth and maybe leaking something yourself, this is why you're doing it, to get the truth out. Our number is 516-620-3602. Thanks to the person who just called in. Please join that person, 516-620-3602. We take all kinds of credit cards. We take all amounts, 516-620-3602. Continue, Kyle.
Yeah, I just want to read this list, and I echo that sentiment. It might be easy to say, dismiss what is being said, the truth and the information that's out there as, oh, they're hating on the election or hating on one or the other party or this or that. But I respect the work and the conditions that he's facing. I just want to read this list. This is what he's facing. Temporal disruptions, that's loss of life on the outside, that's clear. Spatial disruptions, death of a physical life, so sensory deprivation, being in a box, essentially. Losing, in other words, his will to move around, even becoming sedentary because he can't get out. Stress and anxiety triggered by uncertainty of the situation, indefinite nature of the situation, feelings of being at war, targeted or persecuted, subjected to psychological harassment campaigns, and the difficult conditions of confinement, and lastly, hostile media.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean his media organization. That's other media, just to clarify.
Media that pretty much acts as a government.
A mouthpiece.
Basically, yeah, a mouthpiece.
Correct.
For governments.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Last four, deterioration of physical condition, general deterioration due to circumstances, inability to access fresh air, direct sunlight over a long period of time, medical condition not yet undiagnosed, inability to exercise, chronic pain. He hasn't actually been able to access medical facilities. So simple things like tooth problems, which are dental hygiene is incredibly important to other parts of your well-being, but access to dentistry and basically getting an evaluation to see if there's other stuff that is affecting
him. It may surprise you, but in the Ecuadorian embassy, they don't have dental equipment.
It's not a medical clinic.
No, not at all.
So last three.
Yes.
The psychological effects of chronic pain without diagnosis and treatment, destruction of a felt sense of the body, damage to identity if things persist, and disorientation, chronic sleep restriction or deprivation. So.
Yeah, try putting yourself inside even a big house for a period of time, say a month even. Try that. Don't try that. It's torture. But try it for years, and you might have some idea. It's you know, prison is prison. Some prisons are much worse than others. You know, it was a case of some billionaire that was sentenced to house arrest here in New York, and he was going crazy, and he petitioned the court to let him go outside, go to a restaurant, go to a coffee shop, walk around the block. It will drive you bonkers if you're stuck inside and your very freedom is at risk if you dare to step outside.
Just to take a quick step back to something we were talking about, our episode with Brigitte Jean's daughter was the February 9th, 2011 episode. So if you'd like to check that out, 2600.com/off the hook, pull up 2011, pull up February, and you'll be able to check that out. And what we were just mentioning is the Pirate Party's position in their parliament now. They've actually just won 10 out of the overall 63 seats in parliament, which is 14.48% of the overall vote they got. So yeah, that's a force to be reckoned with in Iceland. Very interesting history to the Pirate Party right there.
Absolutely. Bernie, what do you have to say about this?
There's been back to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Julian is not WikiLeaks, but he's one of the main people involved with WikiLeaks. There's a team of people outside the Ecuadorian embassy in London, but there's been a lot of speculation in the past 4 years that he's been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy seeking asylum. Speculation that if he came out, he would be arrested by the Metropolitan Police in London for violating his bail conditions, and then extradited to Sweden to face charges for some misdemeanor charges, I believe, and then potentially extradited to the U.S. for processing, for basically espionage, which he could be charged with for the Chelsea Manning or the Bradley Manning files, and for these more recent Clinton emails. If there's any doubt about Hillary Clinton's ire towards Julian Assange over the years, I think it's at a peak right now. So I would not want to be in Julian Assange's shoes, and it's bad news for him if Hillary becomes president. But it would be bad news for us if Donald Trump became president.
Well,
bottom line is,
it's not necessarily so black and white, Bernie. I think that what you say on face value makes sense, but think about it. If you release this much damaging information about somebody, and then that somebody becomes a very powerful person, I don't know. It's everybody expects you to do something about it. If you do, what's going to happen to your reputation at that point? It's basically trashed.
Then we are Russia.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. And
I've been interested in the discrediting of WikiLeaks recently by connecting WikiLeaks with the Russians. And none of us have seen any evidence at all that the Russian government and the people, high-ranking Democrats, have been saying that this goes all the way up to the Kremlin and to the highest levels of the Russian government. These files were sent to Julian Assange by the Russian government. I've seen no evidence of that whatsoever, and I think this is just sort of just trying to discredit the information in these files.
It's certainly possible they're trying to discredit that. That's not something that I would at all doubt. But it's also, I think, equally possible that Russia is trying to influence the election. I mean, come on, we do it to them, we do it to everybody. So, let's not be stupid here. Obviously, Russia's trying to mess things up, and they would be thrilled to have Donald Trump as the leader, because he'll be weak, he'll be ineffective, he'll be incompetent. It's a treasure trove for them. That doesn't mean, though, that that they are necessarily behind this. But interesting, though, there was a story that came out in the last couple of days. It was on, I believe, Slate.com, and it was entitled, "Was a Trump Server Communicating with Russia?" This spring, a group of computer scientists set out to determine whether hackers were interfering with the Trump campaign. They found some things they weren't expecting. It's a very, very interesting article. I want to read you, though, some of the material that comes directly from the researchers themselves. They say network logs, and you're not hearing this anywhere, too. You're hearing all about Hillary's damn emails, which, fine. Show me anybody's emails that doesn't make them look bad. But I want to see Donald Trump's emails. I really want to see them. I want to know what's going on with his servers, his connections, what he says off the record, all that kind of thing. Here's what they found. Network logs show a distinctively human pattern of communications between a hidden server dedicated for use by the Trump Organization and the Russian financial company Alpha Bank, A-L-F-A, which has close ties to the Kremlin. Trump campaign advisors also have relationships with Alpha Bank and related Alpha Group / Letter One. The other frequent connection to Trump's hidden server with the same distinctive human pattern is Spectrum Health, which is a Michigan hospital with close ties to the DeVos family. The DeVos family founded Amway / AltaCor, which operates in Russia, including transactions with Alpha Bank, such as buying insurance for 800 AltaCor employees from Alpha Bank's insurance subsidiary. The DeVos family has given millions of dollars in the past few months to conservative super PACs. One member of the DeVos family was a founder of Blackwater. So you know this is the salt of the earth here. Okay, so Trump's hidden server appears to be specially configured outbound email server. The email server type normally would handle outbound bulk advertising or transactional mail for a large enterprise to customers, powerful enough to deliver millions of emails per day. Different in every way from traffic seen on adjacent servers managed by the same server company, this specially configured server has been exclusively corresponding with Alpha Bank and Spectrum since at least May of 2016 with a cadence and rate of a human conversation. They have graphs and various other pictorials. The stealth server has two different names, mail1.trump-email.com, and the zone was deleted on Friday, September 23rd, 2016, after the Russian Alpha Bank was asked by the New York Times to explain the communications. So that's kind of interesting right there. On September 27th, 4 days later, a new name showed up, trump1.contact-client.com. Now, when a reporter from the New York Times asked the Russian Alpha Bank for comment about the apparent communications, Alpha Bank denied any relationship with the Trump Organization. The New York Times reporter communicated with no one other than the Russian Alpha Bank, yet the trump-email.com domain began showing signs of panicked reconfiguration. I love panicked reconfiguration. Within hours of the Times asking the Russian Alpha Bank why they were making connections to trump-email.com. While no errors were seen in all the months prior to this question from the reporter, suddenly errors appeared. Two of the authoritative name server hosts deleted the zone, while the third authoritative just erased the IP from the configuration line and continued to answer authoritatively. This mistake can still be demonstrated at the time of this writing. Now, you know, this is technical material here. These guys are really doing the research. You're not hearing this in the media anywhere. And I have a feeling that we're going to get emails from people saying, oh, this proves nothing, that we wouldn't get if we said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. And these are people that would not support Donald Trump. Yet for some reason, they're very quick to jump on the Trump bandwagon and say, oh, there's no proof. Well, here's something that could be proof. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it at least deserves to be looked into. And we're not doing that. We're not doing that enough. Okay, the Trump Organization deleted the trump-email.com zone shortly before 10 a.m. Eastern U.S. time on Friday, September 23rd, after the New York Times reporter called Alpha Bank. This suggests a cover-up attempt by Trump and Alpha Bank. It suggests communication from Alpha Bank warning the Trump Organization to take action to remove the evidence of the hidden server domain mail1.trump-email.com. The physical server itself was never changed, just the host name mail1.trump-email.com. It stopped pointing to that physical server, and the host name was effectively deleted from the global domain name system. Now, by September 27, 2016, the Trump Organization, as we mentioned, had created a new host, trump1.contact-client.com, pointing to the exact same physical server previously operating as mail1.trump-email.com. I think every time I say this, somebody's grinding their teeth. The Russian Alpha Bank was the first to contact the newly renamed host, strongly indicating again that Trump and Alpha Bank are coordinating with each other and have a very close relationship. And after this discovery, they are likely moving conversations to a new channel, if they have any brains. Trump has a bank account with the Russian Alpha Bank, which may explain the need for hidden server communications. Alpha Bank / Alpha Group / Letter One has expressed interest in investing billions in U.S. healthcare companies, which could include Michigan Spectrum Health or could be regarding the financial relationships of Amway, AltaCorp, and the relationship they have with the Russian Alpha Bank insurance company. The question asked here, are you sure the Trump-email.com domain really belongs to the Trump Organization? And the answer to that, we have 100% confidence. You can verify the complete Whois record by going to the GoDaddy.com website and clicking on Whois. While Whois records can be forged, we also judge authenticity based on the resources used by each domain name. A very detailed analysis has been made of thousands of Trump Organization domain names, vendors, hosting resources, confirming that this domain, without question, belongs in the same group. So you can do that yourself. Look up trump-email.com on a Whois record. But also go to this site, which is a very interesting site, gdd.i2p.xyz. Yes, .xyz. Great top-level domain there. And read what these researchers have said in their own words. Again, we don't know the significance of this. We just know that they are finding something. They know what they're talking about, and this is not being reported. Those three things together beg further investigation. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't heard anything like at all until you mentioned it now. That's
and thanks to Jones for sending that in, because I would have missed that otherwise, as we all would have, because it's not being reported. Very, very frustrating.
I'd like to remind everyone, please pledge to WBAI and Off the Hook. Please call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602, or give to WBAI.org.
And I want to thank the people who have called in so far. By the way, we have exceeded what we have brought in the last couple of weeks, which I find to be amazing. You know, that shows where our listeners really are, that we can go through these tough times and talk honestly about them on the radio. That is the important thing that we do here at the radio station. We talk honestly, even when we have blemishes. Nobody tells us to shut up. Nobody threatens us, because that is what this place is about, freedom of speech. And that's something that, as long as that exists, WBAI will be worthwhile. The moment that disappears, well, then things start to change. That could disappear in a week, I guess, with President Trump, I suppose. But I'm holding up faith that we're going to survive this series of challenges.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect illustration of why this station is the home for what we do here. Because nowhere else, on no commercial station, where they're beholden to whoever's throwing them the biggest stacks of money, could we get our point and our work across like this. Right here on WBAI, we're supported only by the listeners. We're answerable only to the listeners, and so it's you speaking up right now with your support, with your financial support, your letters of encouragement, the things you contribute to our show, just emailing us news stories and things. But that right there, our listeners are who we're doing this for, and our listeners are, I'm just incredibly grateful for the people we have in our listener community.
Yeah, and they really did miss us, and we really appreciate some of those correspondents, people wondering where we were, what was wrong with their listening devices and so on.
Well, that's another thing. A lot of people were saying, why don't you just do a podcast? Why, you know, various nasty things about the radio station, but why don't you guys continue? And yeah, you know what? It would be very easy to do that. It would be very easy to just record something on a computer and send it out. A lot of people do that. That's probably the reason why we're hesitant to just do that, because it's so easy, because so many people do it. Radio is special. Radio is different. Radio is unique. And this is why we show up here every week. This is why we've been doing this since 1988. There's a certain magic to broadcasting through the airwaves, where anybody can tune an FM radio and happen upon you by accident, as opposed to somebody typing in something very specific that has to do with your subject matter. And yes, hearing what they want to hear, but not hearing it by accident, because they know what they're looking for. We want to maintain. And you know, these people that say radio is dying, I'm sorry, maybe your radio is dying. Our radio is just fine. Thank you very much. We broadcast all kinds of pertinent, interesting things. And yeah, okay, the radio stations that broadcast the same thing that's on your iTunes or something, that's kind of irrelevant at this point. But radio has never been more relevant. People listen to all kinds of diverse, interesting things, and that's how you find out what's going on, what's fresh, what's new. And that's why we want to continue doing radio and having a podcast in addition to the radio, you know, having something that's attached to it, but never dismissing the radio for the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. All of that in mind. That being said, we got a lot of really good ideas, people suggesting some things. And this is something people mention to us in person a lot. We get a lot of suggestions. But as you said, the importance of radio is paramount to us. So if we were to consider a future, consider what other possible things we could do, we want that to be an expansion. Mm-hmm. We would not, as you said, want to just switch to something. We would want to continue to do the kinds of live reporting over the FM dial, but also use some of the other resources out there to broaden our listenership and expand upon what we are able to do here.
Absolutely, yes.
We've already done we do remotes every now and then. We have tested and a lot of different ideas and stuff, so on, especially from the hacker and telecommunications community. So we would like to continue to entertain those ideas, but it is something we're discussing as a group and would like to continue to get feedback on ways we can integrate all of those things.
Yeah, we need to do more. Absolutely. We want to expand. We don't want to be frustrated. We want to always be thinking creatively and trying to come up with things that have never been done before. And we think, you know, with our ingenuity and our technical abilities, that's certainly possible. And we can get past the hurdles and the challenges. But we're looking for ideas. We're looking for ways that we can continue to bring you what we do as much as possible, as constantly as possible, and in as many different ways as possible. I think, you know, if we pool our resources and our minds, we'll come up with all kinds of interesting ideas.
Yeah, yeah. And this, as long as we can, and especially if we can maintain our autonomy and the independence that we enjoy here, and we love being able to take people's ideas and try to implement them into what we do as only hackers can, mm-hmm. But without any kind of restrictions and getting involved in commercial or some enterprise that limits us in any way. We do not want to be limited. That is being off FM or not being live, whatever the case may be. We do not want production guidelines or any sort of limitations. We want to expand. We want to thrive. We want to continue to build upon the work that we do here, and that includes just basically tying a lot of these different mediums together, so that, you know, recordings of the show go to multiple platforms, live stuff goes to air as well as streams, as well as whatever other low power, high power, medium power, space power, I don't know. Those are the kinds of things we want to hear more about and how to integrate all of it.
And the thing is, this is the place where we can do something, where we have a shot at doing something like that. If you go up and down the dial, you won't find any other place where that's even possible. So, yeah, you know, frustrating as it might be, as angry as you might be at the way things have gone up until now, it's still the best shot. It's still our last best hope, if I do say so. Give us a call, though. We just got another call, 516-620-3602. I'm very heartened to see people are willing to pitch in, because the thing you have to remember, we're frustrated by the premium situation, but the real premium here is the radio station itself. And that's something that has remained. That's something that has not been taken and will not be taken as long as I think anyone here has something to say about it. By here, I mean the entire place. But that only is possible if we're able to keep the lights on and keep the transmitter going. And that's a very, very important thing. So no matter how frustrating, this is as good a test, I think, as you can ever experience, as frustrating as it might get, you have to stick with us and believe and contribute and come up with ideas and let us know how we're doing. That's the important thing. 516-620-3602. join the people who have called in so far and show your support.
Yeah, and that's the important thing. We're all still here because this situation we have here, this station we have here, by rights it should not exist. It's just a complete fact of insanity that it ever came to be at all. And if it were lost, nothing like it would come up in its place.
And a lot of people think it shouldn't exist too, by the way. A lot of right. people, and you know, if you know who gets elected, you can believe that's going to get a lot louder.
Right.
Something we're going to have to all face.
But this is not something that any of us are willing to give up on at this point. Where we still think this is important. We think this is worth our support. We think this is worth your support. And, you know, give us a call, 516-620-3602, or give to WBAI.org and throw in your support.
And I want to remind people, WBAI is tough. Okay, we're an adaptable and resilient bunch here, and there's a lot of really passionate people that
are
want
to
continue.
Challenging other radio stations to like a
no, I'm
a,
saying
a street
that
brawl
this place,
or something.
This place has weathered a heck of a lot in the last couple of years, and mm-hmm. we're standing by it. We would like you to as well. Please go to give to wbai.org. And if you have suggestions, as we offered earlier, please write to us, oth@2600.com.
That's right. And Bernie, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank our many listeners again that I spoke to over the past few weeks for their patience and really positive comments saying, like, we still haven't gotten our premium, but we really like the show and keep doing what you're doing. I have moved to a new address, so here's my new address. So if you're listening right now and you have pledged your financial support and paid for a premium with WBAI, I don't care how long ago it was, if it's not this year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, please let us know. If you haven't talked with us.
Or if you have a parent or a grandparent who pledged for something in years past.
Generations.
Yeah, you know.
But if you've moved to a new address, since you've been waiting so long for this premium gift to arrive, please let us know.
It's going
to
be good when you get it. It really is good. They improve with age.
There you go. It's like wine, but especially the paintings. But
if our premiums were wine, this could actually work, right? let's
like
work
that
with that idea. This is the kind of idea we need. oth@2600.com is our email address. We're in the last couple of minutes of this show. I want to encourage people to call in 516-620-3602. We've seen I think more calls came in this week than in the last few weeks, which is really good to see. 516-620-3602. Pledge whatever you can afford. People are pledging some small amounts, some big amounts. Doesn't matter. It all adds up to a massive amount that can keep us going. That's what it costs to keep a radio station on the air in New York City.
Just talking of things being worth being part of, this Friday, 2600 meetings are happening all over the world. Go to 2600.com/meetings to find one in your area or start one in your area.
That's right. That's right. Now, keep talking while I try to figure out this computer here because I have to play something.
I'm challenging everyone to use the word hacker this week.
Yes.
And as many places as you can. This is 6 days, you know, that we get to talk about other things because it's been too much of the political bent. So use the word hacker this week. Try to use it in a sentence.
In a good way, you can exclaim
it in the middle of a drugstore. Maybe write it in email.
Why would you do that? Why would you exclaim in the middle of a drugstore?
I don't know. Maybe you recognize somebody and their last name's Hacker. I don't know. But
okay,
please use the term. Let's normalize this. This is normal stuff, and hacking is important if you've been paying attention at all.
That's right. And if you listen to the media, you're going to get a distorted view of hacking, just as you get a distorted view of everything. Counter the mass media with some alternative media. That's WBAI New York, 516-620-3602. See you next week. Good night.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, hi. Do I do?
and welcome in to WBAI 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates, and as you tune in to WBAI, we're going to do what we always do, and that's to look at some alternative perspectives this afternoon. We've put a pack together for you that we're calling the Ancient African History Pack, and included in that pack is A Great Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. It includes the speech Black Men Wake Up by Dr. Yosef Ben-Yohanan, and it also includes the film Zeitgeist, and you might ask why it includes the film Zeitgeist. Well, that movie begins with a dissertation or a dissection of the biblical story that we've been told, and points out that many of those stories that we were told were found first in Egypt. Before they made their way into the churches on Sunday mornings and into the books that we read and the stories that we tell, that many of those stories were taken directly from ancient texts in Egypt. It's an interesting perspective, and this film, Zeitgeist, is not just about that. It's about our need to question wholly what we're told in education, what we're educated with, what we're taught in media, the perspectives that we're given. It reminds us that it's important that we do our own research and that we begin to search for ourselves. Now, this pack is going to be really, we've made this kind of really on the low end for everyone. It's three DVDs. It's over 6 hours of material, or it's about 6 hours of material, and it's going to be only a $125 pledge. It's a fantastic package. But many of the things, as I've begun to study deeply or more deeply the history of African peoples, of Black peoples around this planet, and more I am discovering that the stories that I've been told don't match the histories. And not they match the histories of the West, but when you go deeper into the African writings, you find that there are many records of ships leaving Africa and sailing to other places, where when we were told that Africans stayed on their continent and didn't really have any ships and couldn't figure out how to get off of their continent. We learned that there were possibly Black peoples here when Columbus arrived, and that he wrote that in his journals. That the Spanish explorers, the Italian explorers, wrote the same thing as they traveled. The Portuguese explorers wrote the same things as they traveled throughout the Americas. That they encountered people that they described as Ethiopians, or that looked like Ethiopians, here in the Americas. And so it's, from my perspective, it's more and more imperative that we begin to look at what we were taught. I was talking earlier today during a program about medicine about the fact that doctors have begun to say that cholesterol might not really be the problem with our arteries, and that fats might not really be that bad for our bodies. And the point here is just that things change, and there is not as much of a big deal about the correction of the ideas as there is the teaching of the ideas. We find that these ideas are beaten into our brains by society. They will make films that reflect these teachings we've had. For instance, we talked about the film The Gods of Egypt, which bombed because there were bombed, I should say. There were no Black folks in it, and it's a country in Africa, and it just seems odd to me that that myth is still perpetuated to the tune of tens of millions of dollars they put money in to convince us that the Egyptians, that Egypt is somehow not a part of Africa, for one thing, and that the folks there were not Black folks. All of these ideas have to be, and I'm not saying that they are or aren't. What I'm saying is that we have to do our own research and begin to challenge the ideas that we were taught as children, that we were taught as adults, that we were taught in college. Many of these things don't hold up to the light of scrutiny. And one of the things I like to remind people of when I'm on the air is, if you think of schooling as education, I say that when we got to school, in elementary school, from the very beginning, we walk into the classroom and there's a chart there. And the chart says there are four food groups that you must eat. It's you need meat every day, you need vegetables every day, you need fruit every day, and you need dairy every day. Wait a minute, what? You need dairy every day? You see, cow milk is made for baby cows. But from the time we are 5 years old, we are being conditioned to be a consumer of milk products. And so they start by telling us that it's necessary that we eat dairy every day. That's just an example of the kind of conditioning we encounter in our educations. But that's one that begins on the very first day of our schooling. And it is simply that. It's conditioning and programming us to be consumers. Because human beings never need cow's milk. And there are so many of these places. That's just a minor example for me. But there are so many of these places, these holes in our educations, that we have got to look at and question. And even the things that we hold dearly, regardless of what side of the aisle we're on, when it comes to history, the facts are the facts, and the not facts are the not facts. The fallacies remain fallacies, even if we've been taught them and accepted them. And so this pack kind of looked at some of those things and gives us a new perspective on where things came from. So much of what we have learned is Greek culture, for instance, a Greek teaching comes out of Africa. So much of what we've learned in our religions come straight out of Africa and can be shown in African proverbs and texts to be well in place hundreds to thousands of years before they appeared in other places. And it's time for us to go back and take a look. And that's what we're going to do this afternoon as we take a journey back and look at some ancient African history. And we're going to start with the film Zeitgeist. Remember, you can get this film for a pledge of just $55 at 516-620-3602 or by visiting gifttowbai.org. And now I'm going to make some of your heads hurt because this film challenges not only the history, but some of our closely held religious beliefs. It challenges them. But I want to point out again that if we're telling you things on WBAI that you already believe, then we're not teaching you. The point is for all of us that we have to challenge even what we hold dearly. And in that challenge, we may find that what we hold dearly is correct. But the challenge itself should not be an assault on your personal beliefs. So remember, call us at 516-620-3602, and we're going to learn about the role now that the sun plays in what we see as our history.
Back as 10,000 BC, history is abundant with carvings and writings reflecting people's respect and adoration for this object. And it is simple to understand why, as every morning the sun would rise, bringing vision, warmth, and security, saving man from the cold, blind, predator-filled darkness of night. Without it, the cultures understood, the crops would not grow, and life on the planet would not survive. These realities made the sun the most adorned object of all time. Likewise, they were also very aware of the stars. The tracking of the stars allowed them to recognize and anticipate events which occurred over long periods of time, such as eclipses and full moons. They in turn cataloged celestial groups into what we know today as constellations. This is the cross of the zodiac, one of the oldest conceptual images in human history. It reflects the sun as it figuratively passes through the 12 major constellations over the course of a year. It also reflects the 12 months of the year, the four seasons, and the solstices and equinoxes. The term zodiac relates to the fact that constellations were anthropomorphized, or personified, as figures or animals. In other words, the early civilizations did not just follow the sun and stars, they personified them with elaborate myths involving their movements and relationships. The sun, with its life-giving and saving qualities, was personified as a representative of the unseen creator or God. God's sun, the light of the world, the savior of humankind. Likewise, the 12 constellations represented places of travel for God's sun, and were identified by names usually representing elements of nature that happened during that period of time. For example, Aquarius, the water bearer, who brings the spring rains. This is Horus. He is the sun god of Egypt of around 3000 BC. He is the sun anthropomorphized, and his life is a series of allegorical myths involving the sun's movement in the sky. From the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, we know much about the solar messiah. For instance, Horus, being the sun or the light, had an enemy known as Set. And Set was the personification of the darkness or night. And metaphorically speaking, every morning Horus would win the battle against Set, while in the evening Set would conquer Horus and send him into the underworld. It is important to note that dark versus light, or good versus evil, is one of the most ubiquitous mythological dualities ever known, and is still expressed on many levels to this day. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 25th of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, which, in turn, three kings followed to locate and adorn the newborn savior. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher, and at the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus began his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. These attributes of Horus, whether original or not, seem to permeate many cultures of the world, for many other gods are found to have the same general mythological structure. Attis of Phrygia, born of the Virgin Nana on December 25th, crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected. Krishna of India, born of the Virgin Devaki, with a star in the east signaling his coming. He performed miracles with his disciples, and upon his death, was resurrected. Dionysus of Greece, born of a virgin on December 25th, was a traveling teacher who performed miracles such as turning water into wine. He was referred to as the King of Kings, God's only begotten Son, the Alpha and Omega, and many others. And upon his death, he was resurrected. Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th, he had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday. The fact of the matter is, there are numerous saviors from different periods from all over the world which subscribe to these general characteristics. The question remains.